You have your Bible. Turn with me, please, over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And follow along as I read verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray together. Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here. That we might see and hear what you have to say to us this morning. Our needs are as unique as we are. You've come to speak to all of us. We've come to hear from you. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have learned that the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We've also learned that He was the Creator, the sustainer, the one who holds it all together. And he was, he is, the light of men. Even though many will not understand it, comprehend it, even though many will try to extinguish it, cover it up, still it is. And this morning, the Word became flesh. This is one of those truths that on the surface, we can accept the idea, but when we dig deep, that's exactly what happens. It gets deep and it gets tough. But I think we can stay on the surface and truly enjoy understanding that God chose to add humanity to his person. Humanity added to deity so that he could become the Savior. You see, we had a problem. It goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3 and sin. The sin of one man affected every man. And there was nothing any man could do about it. We are born under, and unless something changes, we die under the sentence of death and separation from God, eternal punishment. But God promised in Genesis 3 that he would provide a redeemer. He would provide an answer to that sin. And every man, from Adam to Noah to Abraham to the opening chapters of the New Testament, every man was saved, that sin issue dealt with by faith in the promise that God gave to Adam that he would send a Savior. We celebrate the birth of that Savior at Christmas. What is it that we celebrate? The birth of Jesus, yes. The birth of the second person of the Trinity? No. Remember, the Word was God. The Word was with God. He was the Creator. So that second person of the Trinity was not created, was not born in that manger in Bethlehem. What happened when Mary conceived and then later gave birth? Humanity was joined to deity, because that's the only way your sin, my sin, the sin of Adam to the last man born could be paid for. It took God to pay for it. But it took a man to die for it. It took the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh. And He dwelt among us. That word dwelt. Your Bible maybe says, lived for a while among us. It's a beautiful word. It's a word that's sometimes translated tabernacled or camped. That's a better word. Tabernacled sounds kind of fancy. Camped. He camped among us. Because He became flesh, He could dwell among us, He could camp with us. Or He pitches His tent. And now, I'm not a camper. I've done it, enjoyed it when I was younger, but nobody's going to confuse me with a camper. But what I do understand about camping is it's almost always temporary, and it's mobile. And isn't it interesting? I used that word tabernacle on purpose. When God wanted Israel to know that He was among them, what did He do? He gave Moses instructions for building a very fancy tent. A tabernacle. Why? So that God could make it very visible, very clear to Israel that He was dwelling with them. Did that tabernacle contain God? No. But it was evidence of His presence with them. Now He's doing it again. Only it's for the whole world. And it's not to create a new system of sacrifice, because the wages of sin is death. No. It's so that God, as man, could live among us and die for us. So He dwelt among us, and we saw His glory. It is unique. John, speaking as an eyewitness, we saw His life, we saw the miracles, we saw His death. John was one of the few who did. One of the few disciples there, watching it all. Peter, in and out. John, pretty much through the whole thing. He said, we witnessed His death and His resurrection. We saw His glory. It's the glory as of the only begotten from the Father. Now, John's going to return to that picture in chapter 3. Remember? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten, and that word also could be understood as unique, gave His only begotten or only unique, truly unique Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, will not pay the penalty for their sin, which is what will happen to every man who does not, but have everlasting life. John says, we got to see that. We got to see his glory. The glory of this one unique man. Never been one like him, never will be another like him. The uniqueness of the God-man. The result, in him we see the one who is full of grace and truth. Picture, if you will, a circle. God loved, for God so loved the world. God loved. Because God loved, Jesus came. God loved, Jesus came. But while he was here, he made it very clear to his disciples and anyone else who would listen, that there is only one way to the Father. And he said, it's through me. There's only one way of salvation, and I will provide it. Only one way. That one way provides then for you and me a choice. God doesn't force himself upon anyone. That's the truth. That's the choice. Because God loved, Jesus came. He's the only way you choose. See, that's grace and truth. It's really easy to emphasize one over the other. Or one and forget the other. I really like grace. I really like the fact that God loves me and that he has forgiven me. I think that's wonderful. But don't you know that along with that grace and along with that love, there is also truth? Along with that grace and along with that love comes responsibility, a call to obedience. So God loved. Jesus came. There is no other way. I know. The world will not accept that. Remember, they can't comprehend. They don't understand this. There is no other way. But then you get to choose. Will you choose that only way, that one way? Filled with grace. Only God could have come up with this. He told Adam, I love you. I'm going to provide for you. What did he do? He sent his son, fully God, eternally God, to take on humanity, to add to who he is, his person, to add to him a body. In the Old Testament, we got to see him appear as a man. In the New Testament, he is a man. And he will have that body for eternity. We will, if you are here this morning in Christ, when you get to heaven, you will see Jesus. And we've got all these pictures, great artists, and your imagination. And one day you'll get to see him. And he will look exactly as he did. And he will always look that way. Because he took on the form of a man, took on a body. Because that was the only way to pay for your sins and for mine. Only God could pay the penalty. Only a man could die. Only the Lord, Jesus, could be the Christ. No one else. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and its truthfulness. I pray that we've handled it accurately. You chose, through the gift of your Son, to dwell among us, to temporarily live with us, so that Jesus could die for us. His payment, the penalty paid for the sin of the whole world. Many choose not to see it, not to understand it, but it's still there. How great a payment for our sin. As we worship at the manger, remember the baby who is also your Son, our Savior. May we respond to that great love. First, by recognizing that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And then, having recognized Jesus as Savior and as Lord, grow in obedience to Him, to your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.